and a warm welcome to the Blue Tween Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. On this week's episode, with no game on Saturday due to the bad weather, we chat with the club's new general manager. We'll also preview this weekend's trip to Bonnyrigg Rose, and for a bit of fun, we've got your Snow 11. Yes, welcome along to this week's episode of the Blue Tune Podcast. I'm Colin Byers, and with me is ever Martin Smith. Martin, welcome along. How are you this week?
I'm very well, Colin. How are you?
Not too bad. I think Blue Tune is the apropos phrase. Pretty cool over the weekend, and I'm still pretty cool as it is. I'm sitting here with a cup of tea, so it tells you you need to kind of hit the weather up here at the moment.
But it's good to hear you sounding a lot better this week than you were last week. What a difference making a game makes for you as well.
Yeah, aye, I'm back to match fitness again. Extra weekend off managed to help. Aye, that was pretty horrendous last week. Yeah, the less said about that, the better. So how did you end up spending your free afternoon then? Because I tell you, it ended up being an expensive one for me because we went Christmas shopping.
We had the vehicle parade that was on in Peterhead. We went and seen a bit of that. Thought I was going to manage to avoid it, but unfortunately not. With only being a game, I was dragged to it. And it was freezing. I've been to some cold games in my time, but standing there watching vehicles go past, thinking you're freezing. Wasn't my idea of a fun Saturday, I'll be honest, but hey, the bear enjoyed it, so that's the main thing.
If you're at the football, and you at least there'll be something to kind of get yourself a little bit kind of excited about, you kind of keep yourself G'd up a wee bit, watching vehicles go by. I don't think would have been that exciting.
No, once the last vehicle went past, that was the most exciting bit, because then I could get the heat up, but a different sort of Saturday, fairly missed the football, that's for sure.
No, we did a bit of Christmas shopping, so that was expensive, so there's a lot to, I'm a lot poorer than would have been had again to the game. Ended up watching a couple of Christmas films as well, which was,
the only thing
really we could have done, Home Alone. And then later on, after we watched Strictly, we watched Die Hard. That was on as well. So that was my Saturday.
Oh, Die Hard Christmas film. Ooh, controversial.
Are we going to start that debate?
No. Leave that for the listener. They can decide.
Right. So a couple of things we're going to get a touch on. Euro 2024 draw was made on Saturday as well, so we did watch that. Scotland have been drawn against Germany, Switzerland and Hungary. Fairly decent draw, I would say.
Yeah, on the face of it, it looks a decent draw. I think there's certainly teams that we could have got that's a lot more difficult. But I don't think there's got to be any easy games at the tournament. There's maybe easier on paper, but I think, you know, you get to play Germany in the opening game of the tournament. It'll be a great occasion, a great spectacle for everyone as well. So, yeah, I'm sure Steve Clark and the boys will be raring to go. But, yeah, a decent draw, I would say.
It was pretty set that we were going to open that, be the opening game. Once we saw it that we were drawn out first, and then it was a case of, right, let's just get A2, and that's exactly what we've got. We've done it before, France 98, of course, so why not?
Yeah, exactly. The focus will be probably in Germany. They're the host nation. And you'd expect them to go on and do really well. It would just be the most Scottish thing ever. We rock up, we upset the party a wee bit. But I don't think we're turning up to the tournament just thinking, you know, we're going to get beaten every game. I think there's a genuine optimism within the camp that, you know, you can go to that tournament and you're not just there to make up the numbers. You're there to compete and compete well. And I think they will do that.
So we play Germany on the opening game on Friday, the 14th of June. Then we play Switzerland 19th of June, which is the Wednesday. And then on Sunday, the 23rd of June, we finish against Hungary. All those games are 8 o'clock as well. So the vast majority of us will be able to watch it as well.
Yeah, and that's what you're wanting. You're wanting everybody to get behind the nation. The prices, I've seen some of the prices going around on social media this weekend as well. Horrendous prices that you're looking for tickets, for travel, accommodation. Really is scandalous. But yeah, you want everybody to get behind the nation. I'm sure they'll do that.
It's one of those things, I guess, once the dates and everything are set, accommodation just goes sky high. It's a supply and demand, I believe the phrase is.
That's very true, and yeah, they're certainly capitalising on it as well. And but you know, Scotland will be well backed; they'll sell out their games, and yeah, I'm sure they'll put on a really good occasion.
Yeah, that's something to look forward to next year as well. Piece of business: the club announced on Friday as well they're appointing a new general manager to replace Martin Johnson. Obviously, he left last summer. They have appointed somebody within the club as well, somebody well known to the club, is Sharon Brown. She'll be the new general manager. I think it's a great appointment. Somebody who's obviously been with the club for a number of years as well. She's one of those that I think folk can appreciate how much hard work she actually does behind the scenes.
Very well respected within the club as well. And I think sometimes the work she does goes unappreciated. We've seen firsthand back through the COVID times that she was very, very helpful to us, and you know, really couldn't thank her enough for the things that she did. And I think it's a really good appointment. It's, as you said, it's somebody within the club, somebody that, dare I say, gets it, understands what the club means to a lot of people. You could maybe appoint somebody out with the club, but I don't think they would really fully appreciate everything that goes on at the club. So, yeah, delighted that Sharon's got it, and I'm sure she'll excel in her job as well.
Yeah, that's the thing as well. The amount of times that she goes sort of over and above she needs to do, and that goes for quite a few of them that we've dealt with over the last few number of years as well. We know Ken does a fantastic job as well, and he sort of goes over and above as well. So it's a great appointment, exciting one as well, because obviously you've got a young, hungry management team on the park. Now you've got a young, hungry general manager behind the scenes as well, and it's exciting to see how that where that takes the club.
Yeah, I'm hoping the two complement each other well, the playing side of things and off-field side of things. As you said, there's a lot of people at the club who understand what it means within the community, and you know, whether it's people that stay in the town or whether they don't, they all seem to get what the club's about. You know, it's a lot of volunteers are there as well, and you know, the work that these guys do cannot go unrecognised, and they deserve the recognition they get for it. And I'm sure that, you know, Sharon will put everything that she does, you know, previously and now she'll put everything into it. As you said, I'm looking forward to seeing how the management team complement the off-field team as well.
Yeah, I'm sure everybody's working in the same direction as well. And as I said, it's exciting times and to see where it all goes. So, unfortunately, her first game as general manager was called off on Saturday due to the weather, frozen pitch. Really disappointed that it didn't go ahead. You were sort of giving us updates on the Saturday morning. It wasn't looking good. I guess from sort of a Dumbarton kind of a perspective, there was perhaps some of them that were on their way up. In fact, I know some of them were probably in and around Aberdeen and making their way up. Disappointed that it was so late and getting called off. But on the flip side, I think the club were trying to give it as much time as they possibly could.
Yeah, 100% balance, exactly what happened. It was, you know, it didn't look good first thing in the morning once daylight sort of lifted, but the previous day, as the sun came out, the frost did lift from the pitch, and it was playable on the Friday. And I think a lot of people had thought, well, there's a fair chance that could be the same again on the Saturday. Initially, there wasn't plans to do a pitch inspection on the Saturday at all. Obviously, things changed throughout the course of the morning, and once it became apparent that even the sun coming out wasn't really doing much good to the pitch, it became clear a pitch inspection was needed. I get the Dumbarton fans' frustration. You know, as you said, and a lot of them, you know, what time is it? It was about 11:15, the game was called off. A fair few of them would have set off. You know, they're probably in and around the Aberdeen area, so pretty close to Balmoor as you're coming up. And they'd have been disappointed like we were that there wasn't a game to go ahead, but the club have tried to leave as late as possible to, you know, to see whether we could get a game. Unfortunately, that wasn't the case, and the game will be rearranged, but yeah, I can sort of see why Dumbarton fans were slightly miffed. We'd have been the same probably had the roles been reversed and we were going to do Dumbarton. But as I said, the club were trying to give it every possible opportunity they could to get the game going ahead.
As you said, because of the pitch, there was no signs of a pitch inspection. Then there was an announcement that the pitch inspection was going to be at 11:15. As soon as somebody says pitch inspection, there's a fair chance that the game's going to be off.
Yeah, you can yourself, once a club announces that there's going to be a pitch inspection, the likelihood of there being a pitch inspection on it going ahead is slim to none. I think there was maybe two or three over the hill weekend that I seen that they were doing pitch inspections that actually went ahead. And that's testament to like Stenage Muir, you know, Hamilton. They got their games on through massive healthy volunteers, but that was clearing snow. This one, the frost had set in properly on the pitch. And yeah, once you came that the club have called for a referee and pitch inspection, they're almost getting validation on their own thoughts that the game's not playable. It's unfortunate, but you know, the referee's got to take into consideration the whole pitch and the safety of everyone as well.
And that's the thing, you probably would have preferred the snow, and weirdly, because you'd be able to clear that and then see what it looked like it was under the snow. As you said, Steny, it didn't look as though their game was going to go ahead, but with the massive volunteers that they got, they managed to get the game on as well.
Yeah, I think we had last season with a game that, you know, the pitch was covered in snow and volunteers got there and on the Friday. And then it snowed again, but the club had said, had it not been the snow, the game would have been fine, there was no frost. So, yeah, you'd much rather have snow, which you can clear, rather than frost, because once it sets into the pitch, it's very difficult to, you know, try and get a game on. It's unfortunate there'll be a rearranged game, but, you know, as I said, the referee's got to take into consideration the safety.
Yeah, that was the Clyde game. In fact, it was the beginning of December. I think it would have been David Robertson's first home game in charge, and you're right enough, they cleared the snow, then it was Mayor. I guess it's to be expected at this time of the year.
Yeah, I mean, we all knew the forecast. It's just unfortunate that the, you know, it was frost on a Friday, it then cleared up by, you know, 1-2 o'clock, and had it been a Friday game, it would have been fine. Unfortunately, it wasn't. It was a Saturday game, and, you know, you couldn't leave it till 1:30, 2:45 to think we might have a game, and then you start getting guys, you know, punters coming in and whatnot. It's not fair on everyone. As I said, it's disappointing we didn't get a game to go to on Saturday, but, you know, there's a safety aspect to take into consideration as well.
Well, you say it's not fair getting somebody in, but did you see the game? It was supposed to be live on the BBC, the FA Cup game. It was called off just minutes before kick-off because of the frozen pitch. It was a TV game as well.
No, you're joking. I didn't see that. No, it called off minutes before. Oh, my word.
I can't remember what it was. It was lunchtime kick-off, 12:30, I think it was. And right from the word day in there, sort of introductions to the programme and all the rest of it, they got the news that the game was... game was going to be called off, stadium was full.
I mean, I'm all for trying to leave it for a later call-off, but surely, I think once people start arriving at the stadium, you've either got to be committed that it's either going ahead or not, and it's strange. I think the referee should have been calling it off beforehand, personally.
Right, so we did, like we did last time, the game was called off, but this time we've asked for your snow 11, your Santa 11, Christmas 11, whatever it is you want to kind of call it. There was a few come in. So Andrew Mills, start with him. He said Ian Good, King's Wenceslas, which was a pretty good one. Peter Cameron, Raymond Yule Log as well.
That's a good one.
Peter Bruce and Jason Argo both said Jack Frost Brown, which was the one I... thought of, which is a pretty obvious one. Graham McLean, he came in with a couple. He said Rory McAllister because he's Noel's dad. Obviously, Noel's the connection there. Scott Ross, now, Scott, if you're listening, this is Graham and not us. But he says Scott Ross because he gets plenty cards. Boom, boom. and Chris Miss Johnston as well. Basically, you could have put any Chris Doon for that one, I would guess.
Quite much, yeah.
Yeah. Ethan Stewart, Robbie McHale, instead of, obviously, McGale, like the last time.
McHale, oh, yeah.
Scott Reid, Bobby Wiseman.
Okay, yeah.
I'm not sure if Bobby Mann could ever be called a wise man, but hey, oh, there we go. One mayor, I think this is probably the best team of the lot. Peter Cow put in Missile Joe McKee.
Yeah,
I think that's a cracker.
That's a smart one.
That's a cracker. If we were giving it a prize, I think that would be the winner. You said Santa, Rocky Santa Cruz, as a non Peter Head one. Okay. There was another one as well. Wayne Simpson, he came in with Denice Law. Clever as well. That's a clever that one as well. Duncan Brown, he gave us sort of a song suggestion rather than one for the Santa 11. He went with Simon Ferry, Tale of New York.
Oh, I'm just surprised it's clean for Duncan.
I'm surprised that Graham's one was clean as well. Obviously,
he must be a Facebook ban.
He must be due another Facebook ban as well for that. Listen, thanks again. Again, sometimes we sort of bombard you. We want interactions and things like that. But yeah, it's good to kind of get these kind of things as well. And talking of interactions as well, Spotify Wrapped, for those of you who has Spotify, I should say. You'd have got in your wrap. Anybody who doesn't have Spotify, they don't know what it is. Basically, Spotify every year, at the end of the year, gives you your songs that you've been playing the most, your artists you've been listening to the most, and gives you your stats, etc., etc. And for us, for doing the podcast on Spotify as well, that gives us exactly the same, tells us exactly how many people have been listening, and you know which were our most popular episodes have been, etc., etc. And once again, you guys have been fantastic. We've seen our numbers go increased again this year. That's obviously just on Spotify. We do keep an eye on the numbers in terms on Podbean as well. It is going up as well, but the Spotify numbers has gone up 89% this year alone, which is. I said on social media, I said on Twitter, it just blows my mind that, you know, even after 4 years, we're still getting these kind of numbers.
Yeah, it's mental to think that there's we're a small club in the grand scheme of things, and people actually still listen. It really does boggle the mind a wee bit. But yeah, for the numbers to be up like they are and how consistent the listeners are as well, the interactions that we get, I mean... It makes it a lot easier being able to deal with the interaction with people listening. Otherwise, it's just the two of us rambling to each other, to be fair, is it? But yeah, we really do appreciate everything, everyone that listens and all the interactions that we get.
Yeah, and that's what it is. The more that you guys sort of get involved, it makes it much more, I wouldn't say easier, but it certainly helps. You know, because sometimes you guys come up with different ideas and maybe spot things differently that we might.
Yeah, I would be generally obviously keen to see as well. You mentioned Spotify Wrapped; it comes up with your listens and everything. I'd be keen to see who's got the most listens, you know, of episodes out there. If you've got your screenshots, send them in to us. We'll be interested to see who is the top listeners.
And because there was a game on Saturday, we had our draw for the signed Rory McAllister print as well on Thursday night. We did the wheel, aka sort of Michael McIntyre's wheel.
Kind of thing,
poor man's Michael McIntyre's wheel, and it was Rosie Cow who'd won it. We would have presented it with her on Saturday. So obviously we'll look to get that sorted out probably the next game, which is Clyde, a week in Saturday, so we'll get that sorted out. But again, thanks again for everybody who chipped in and put the money in, and obviously the money will go to the supporters club, and hopefully maybe get someone again maybe in the new year, and see what we can get for that.
Yeah, hopefully, and just to reiterate, the supporters club really appreciate every penny that they get. Obviously, it's, as I said, we're a smaller club and every penny counts, as the world is at the moment. Every penny counts for everyone. So yeah, everybody at the supporters club really appreciates the money going in.
Right, delighted to say, joining us on this week's podcast is the club's new general manager, Sharon Brown. Sharon, welcome to the podcast. How are you?
Fine. Thank you very much for having me.
Not at all. I know you're sort of smack bang new in the role and everything, but so thanks very much for coming on. We were just discussing Saturday. Free Saturday for you, or do you get a day off because of the game being off, or how does it work for you?
No, you never really get a day off because a game being cancelled is nae ideal, and you then need to once you get it all done and dusted with the referee and whatever, you need to then phone everybody that's coming. So it takes us a while to get around everybody. We obviously get finished earlier than we would normally do, but it does take a minute to get our hand sorted, and then often people want rebooked in and all that. So no, it's nae a case of a day off, just an early finish.
You say phone and other. I guess you're talking about the sponsors, corporates, etc.
So yeah, you would start with obviously we've got our list. We've got our executive club and patrons every week. So we get in touch with them. Any sponsors, anybody's been booked in for meals, all the staff that would have been coming in, media team, just anybody that we think will be coming along the game. We try our best to let them know because you still want folk turning up and there's nobody there.
Do you find, obviously, because it was on social media, most folk would have kent, but do you find that you maybe have to inform some of your older supporters?
Yes, definitely. Like, that was front of my mind on Saturday. Anybody that I think wouldn't be on social media. But a lot of folks still, even when they read it on social media, still would speak to somebody at the club. So the phone's just non-stop for a good hour, just confirming that the game's off or on.
So you're the new general manager then. How's the reaction been? Have you gotten a lot of messages since Friday?
I'm absolutely overwhelmed. I couldn't believe the response when it went to social media. Obviously, I didn't write that post about myself. I'm not about myself. I didn't write that post. So when the post went up, the first thing was a photo. It took me a good while to find a photo that I was happy we got. We've got a lot of followers, so it took me a while. And even the post, when I read the post, I had tears in my eyes because I thought it was so nice. I sometimes wonder how I've got myself here. And the messages that I've had, the post had loads of interaction, the private messages I've had for people, it's really been overwhelming and really heartwarming, actually, to see the reaction I'm getting from people, because I am just a quine that came into the football club a few years ago, so it's been really, really nice, and I'm really grateful for all the support I've been getting.
I guess that shows the kind of community side of things to the club as well. It's not just a football club, but there is that community element to it, and it, you know, when somebody like yourself has been with the club for so long, and people appreciate it.
I don't think folk realise there's so much goes on in a football club, and community is a huge side of it, and that's one aspect of my job I love. I love speaking to people. I love getting to know. I like to know what people are about. I like to know, like a lot of the folk, football, coffee shop, they just come in, sometimes just need company and whatever, so I have always got time for people when they come in. I really realise how important it is for a club to be integrated in the community and what we can do for people in a community of all ages. So if whenever it's a community thing, or even, I mean, I live in Peterhead, my kids go to school in Peterhead, I see a lot of things. If I'm ever anywhere and I think, oh, we can help, I will do it. And I think that's, when I've got an initial reaction, it's because folks see that I'm proactive like that. Like, I want to help people, and nay, just if it's, like, obviously, you've got to do things to make money for the club, but it's nae about that. It's about helping people, nae for a benefit, just to help. So if I'm in a situation and I see that the club can help people, I'll go forward with it.
Just getting back onto Saturday's game then, just tell us the sort of process to lead up to the game being cancelled, then what's kind of the thought process and having to get it called off?
So with any game, obviously we're always checking the weather. If there's bad weather, we're always checking the weather. A cancellation of a game depends on, like, you've seen us clearing our pitches. Can we've all been out with our shovels on a Friday, clear the pitch. You can by Saturday morning if it's worked or not. We've had situations where there's been wind and it got called off like half an hour beforehand. It just depends on the situation. But for Saturday, for a prime example, Saturday. So Friday we had all the ice. At 10 o'clock we looked at pitch and it was frosty. But by 3 o'clock it was absolutely beautiful. Soft, lovely. So we thought, right, we're going to be fine for the morning. So went ahead as normal. 7 o'clock Saturday morning, the chairman himself, I'm sure you all know how involved he is and how hands-on he is, he went down himself. We've got a camera at a club. I was checking out what happened up during the night, checking the camera. I thought, well, it looked exactly the same 24 hours before. So I thought, well, we was fine at 3 o'clock, so on the Friday. So that's how it went. When Roger went down at 7, he thought, no, we're going to thaw. This has got to be okay. So went along our day as normal. I could do maybe 9:15. I'm not an expert in a pitch. I wouldn't have kind of if a pitch is playable. Went out, we kept going out and then checking it, and then by about 9:30 we phoned Roger, and I think he maybe came back doing, I can't remember if we phoned him, he came back doing, and he thought, and he said then, this has not thawed as much as we would have been expecting. Now, nobody wants to postpone games, and the whole time we were discussing this, we're thinking, what time did Dumbarton leave? What time do fans leave? What time's the team leaving? Not only that, we've obviously got our South players. We didn't want anybody leaving. But back in nine, we still thought there was hope for the game to be on because the sun was really shining the whole time and there was heat in the sun. But the temperatures just didn't rise as much as they did on Friday. So we phoned SPFL, got our pitch inspection, and then by the time the ref got to us, it was 11:15, and we were still hoping. We were still hoping, because we were out every 10 minutes, because I was standing looking at it, and I thought, nothing's changing, but from you getting inside and come out again, you could see a difference, and there was parts of it thawing, but he just felt that it wasn't going to be enough for the game to go ahead at 3 o'clock.
How much involvement do you guys give, sort of say Dumbarton, obviously on Saturday they were the opposition, how much do you keep them up to date?
Yeah, like all through the process. So genuinely we really thought our game was going to go ahead. So you get emails from the fans. Ken would be the one that's contacting the club. I was getting emails from fans and we really thought it was all go. There was no doubt in my mind on Friday and even Saturday early doors there wasn't. So as soon as we knew we was going to have a pitch inspection, we phoned Dumbarton and to let them know. But it's a really difficult one when you're travelling because we still didn't know at that point. So you've kind of got to go like the game's on until the game's off. Mm-hmm.
Did the referee give any indication whether he thought he might have given it like another hour or an hour and a half? Or did you feel you had to make the decision at that time for obviously your players coming up in Dumbarton as well?
The referee just made the decision at that time. That's the hard thing with a pitch inspection, because if you get a pitch inspection at 8:09, the ref goes on the ground at that time. I mean, he will take into consideration partly if he thinks, but on Saturday, we'll go on Saturday because that's just happened, he just said his stud couldn't get in the ground, so that was it. So once it's called off, it's called off. There's nothing you can do.
Had it been a case maybe if we were playing, kind of if we've been playing Cove or something like that, could you have maybe let it go another hour, say, or maybe another hour, and just say, like, because it's nice so far to travel?
It's just, we go by the SPFL. So if we think we need a pitch inspection, we phone them and they tell us.
Right.
And that's how it goes. As I say, like in previous pitch inspections, the last twice we've did the shuffle the snow off the pitch and Abdi's had broken backs on the Saturday morning. He's came in at 8 in the morning and just said no. Mm. So the time with the wind, I mean, everybody was there. It was about 3:15 call off. So it totally depends on the day and the circumstances on the day. There's no rule as such because we just deal with it how it happens on the day.
And obviously, as you mentioned earlier on, consequences is that you have to phone folk to, you kind of come in, there's the consequences for the corporate. How much of a hit does that mean for the club now that the game will be played on a Tuesday, say?
It's just, nobody wants a cancelled game. First and foremost, we knew Dumbarton were travelling, we knew their fans had left, we knew their team had left. We didn't want to phone them and say, turn around, it's nay. So for that, obviously it's not ideal not having a game on a Saturday, having it on a Tuesday night, because you're not going to hear the same, obviously it's not the same thing, but in front of my mind as well, I'm thinking about all these people, it's their routine to come on a Saturday, and it's, you don't want to have to say, oh, it can't happen. And it's bearing in mind as well, it's only the 2nd of December, postponing games this early on is not really ideal, because they've got to be played. So it's fitting all these games in.
Yeah. Is there any indication?
The indication for
for it's going to be played.
No, we haven't got a date yet.
No. Likely be New Year or before the Christmas?
No indication of date yet. Right. Okay. I was actually off today, so unless something's happened today, I've been doing my Christmas shopping today. So unless something's happened today, but no, I hadn't. There was no. It takes a minute to reschedule a game, because obviously it's not just as easy as saying this is when it is. So, and you've got to bear in mind weather again at this time of year. So, no, Ken will speak to Dumbarton. It's Ken that speaks to the opposing team. So he will be speaking to them, and then we'll go to the SPFL and see what we can do.
Okay. So let's talk about you as a general manager then. Just explain to us then what exactly that role entails, and what's your sort of day-to-day role?
It's really hard actually to explain, because no 2 days are the same. I deal with football stuff, like we're saying Saturday, pitch inspections and things like that. We've got lots of functions that go on upstairs. We've got our club shop. It really is different every day, and it is just whatever happens in a day. So if somebody comes to me and says, right, we've got a frozen pitch, the game needs to be stopped, I deal with that. And then the next situation, I can be dealing with a party that we've got upstairs. And really entails just anything. Handing accounts. So I liaise with her lots. Mandy's been a huge support to me in the office. I liaise with her lots. Like, oh, we had a funeral tea, right? I need to tell her the details for that, for getting invoices, or just anything. It really is a hard thing to explain what you do, because it really is general, and it's just anything that comes under the football club roof. If I can help with the situation, I'll be there to help with it. There's also Ken in the office as well. So between me and Ken, a lot of the times he's there when I'm not, and I'm there when he's not. So we're liaising all the time with all the different things. Customers coming into the shop. It's really just a mixed bag. It's not just the football side of it. I've had to learn a lot in the last year, all the different SPFL rules, because predominantly when I came in as an office admin, it was just like your mail and your invoices and things like that. But since then, I've had to learn a lot with SPFL rules. I obviously deal with Ryan and Jordan, and not just them, the players as well, on a daily basis. Like today, I'm arranging cars getting picked up and dropped off because they need MOTs and this and that. And so it's just a mixed bag of everything. But I've really had to learn the SPFL rules, all the regulations, club licensing, because I really didn't have anything to do with that before. So that's been a huge learning curve. So I'm often sitting at night going through the SPFL handbook thinking, can we do this? Can we do that? So really it is a mixed bag. It goes for the football and dealing with the players and the managers right through the club to the coffee shop to upstairs to just anything. But again, there's Mary, she's a hospitality manager, and she's also a really good help. We just all work together. It really is, we all just pull together and get the job done.
So when you say general manager, that is probably it.
It's just general.
obviously, Martin Johnson had been the previous general manager, obviously, great guy, obviously, he knew his stuff. Is it going to be difficult to try and emulate him or replace him, do you think, or you just try to follow your own path?
I would just say, like, in any workplace, if somebody leaves, there's a huge adjustment. And as you say, Martin Johnson was very knowledgeable, especially on the football side of it. He was very knowledgeable, which is probably why I didn't have much to do with it, because he knew it all, so I didn't need to involve myself. But in the same breath, if somebody leaves, it gives somebody else the opportunity to maybe bring in like fresh ideas, show their strengths. So I feel like we've just, I mean, it's been a year and a half now, I think, maybe just over a year anyway, maybe a year and a half actually. So it's just kind of been natural. Like, it's just been like, right, this is what we need to do. I'm the kind of person that just gets a job done. I wouldn't be like, oh, that's not my job. I just get a job done. So I've just kind of been like, right, I need to get my head down and get it done. So, yeah, it's just an adjustment period, I would say. But we're past that now because it's been so long.
Yeah, that's it's been going for that long as well. You talk about such sponsors and things like that. How involved will you be with that in terms of getting like match sponsors? Do they come to you or will you go and seek them?
So a lot of people are repeat customers, but no, I'm always looking for a new business. I think everybody can see, well, maybe everybody can, I see actually, and he's quiet about it, but Roger puts in an absolute power of work to that club. He is constantly working, selling, doing something. Like, I can't stress enough how much a new chairman he is. And, as is their role, I probably would have wanted to even consider, well, I would never have considered himself. I'm kind of shocked that I am where I am, but I would never have done it with him because he is so hands-on. And I know that if I phone him and say, Roger, what about this? He'll help me straight away. Kenny's very approachable. All the board have been really supportive. Roger, Charlie and Liz. But Roger is just so hands-on. So yes, I will be involved with the sponsors. I have been for a long time, but he's the man. He's the salesman. And without him, I can't think we would be. But I'm always thinking about Peter. I mean, it was one of the things I said when they gave me the job. I'm always thinking about Peterhead. If you catch me in a night out, I was trying to sell somebody a match sponsor or a match ball. Two wines do me. I'm like, now, come on. You need to come. Yeah, so I am always thinking about it. Because it kind of football club doesn't run with you, that kind of things. And I'm very passionate about the club. I'm very passionate about people coming in, because at the same time as well, I want people to come to Hinnabean because they don't realise how good it is. Mm. It really is a good day out and fun, and or that's for if you're a match sponsor, but then it's not just match sponsor, you've got boards, you've got different things you can sponsor the club. And if you sponsor us, you're helping the town, because we will then put back to the community and add different things. So I will be involved, I have been involved, but Roger's still the main man.
Gets the final say.
Yeah,
of course.
One of the things you've been involved with has been we're calling them the Ultras, the Young Loons, Young Loons and Quines maybe as well, I should say. Yeah. Have been involved coming to the games recently. The club have said that they're looking to build a structure, I guess, for want of a better phrase for them. How is the sort of selling the raffles for that going? Are you getting good numbers?
So the raffles, the lucky number is almost sold out. I had been hoping the last game to get round everybody, but we ended up being down with staff, so I ended up selling the raffles and we didn't manage to get it done. And then Saturday it was the plan. I had full staff on Saturday, so I was going to get the last few because there's really not much to sell and we can get that competition drawn, but obviously the game was called off. That's one of the things that I am trying to really get some sponsorship for. So we have the container. It'll get picked up on Tuesday. We've got all the wheels in motion, but it's costing a lot more than I think we initially anticipated, but we know there's a need for it. Mm. So I am still, so if there's anybody listening and wants to sponsor us, just give me a shout. I am still trying to get it because there is a need for it. There definitely is a need for it. So as I say, it's going away on Tuesday and the works are starting and we know exactly what we want. So I'm just hoping to get some sponsorship for it.
Generally speaking, what's the sort of reaction been towards the Ultras?
It's a tough one because we know that nae everybody's going to be happy, but at the same time, us as our fans, the future. And I think any club you go to now, they're there. Mm-hmm. And I think the atmosphere they bring is really good when they're singing. And there will always be challenges, I suppose. One of our challenges at the moment is there's not an area for them. So that is the one thing we can fix. So that's what we're going to do. But yes, we need them to keep coming. They are our fans of the future, but we want to respect our fans that already come. So we need to get everybody happy.
It's a fine balancing act, isn't it?
But I feel if we get them an area and that's their area, and we can do it, because nobody's going to bother if they're singing and banging their drum if they're in an area and that's their bit. But at the moment, it's just finding that place hasn't been easy.
Yeah, and as you said, they're the ones for the future. So you mix that up with 10 or 15, but you know they'll start bringing one pal and that one pal bring another pal, and before you can it, your attendance is skyrocket. Yeah.
And I think as well, like if you think about when you were young yourself, you went to football with dad and granda, and then you went yourself with your chums, and you're still going now. So Ken, we do want them to keep coming, want to encourage them to keep coming, but we don't want to disencourage others to not come. So we're working hard at it behind the scenes. This is one of the projects that we really are working hard, and I really think once we get the container sorted, they're going to be delighted with it. Because they'll be able to put up their flags and all the rest to it, and it just keeps them away from people that are sitting down and maybe just want to enjoy a game a little bit quieter.
Do you reckon that'll be ready for the next home game, or how long do you think that'll be?
I'm not sure in time scales yet. As I say, it's getting picked up on Tuesday, so once they get the container picked up and probably up to their guard and get a good idea, because we need to obviously mark it safe and hey, like levels and that put in it. So once they get it up to the yard on Tuesday, hopefully we'll have a better idea of how long it's going to take.
Excellent. I'm looking forward to seeing that completed. And you never know, we might even just jump in ourselves.
Well, do yourself. I'm sure they'll take us in. Can we flog it?
We'll be the oldest ultras there, but hey-ho. listen, Sharon, thanks very much for coming on, taking time out of your busy schedule, and giving us an update on what was going on Saturday. Really appreciate it. Best of luck with your new role. I'm sure you're going to smash it, and anything you need for us, we're here to help as well.
No bother. I just want to say a huge thank you to the club for giving me the opportunity. As I say, it's just I'm just me, I'm just little me, and how I've managed to do it. But between the staff and the club, as I say, the board and Roger, it really is a huge team effort, and I'm really grateful that I've been given the opportunity, and I really hope I can do a really good job for the fans, the supporters, the staff, and everybody.
So that was Peterhead's new general manager, Sharon Brown. Thanks again for coming on. Lots of honesty, as you would expect for anybody working at the club, in terms of how things went. Really delighted that she's in the role. And as she said, she's been there for that long as well. And will be sort of learning the role as well, learning things as we're going along. Much like, as we said earlier, with the two guys as co-manager, Ryan and Jordan, sort of learning the role as well. So it'll be interesting to see how things go over the next few months.
Yeah, absolutely. Sharon spoke really well there. It was interesting to see the behind the scenes stuff with it, like the postponements and the sponsors and everything. But Fitz sort of came through for me as our drive with it. You can certainly tell she's got the passion for it. And I think, you know, as we mentioned in the audio there, it's general manager hands on with everything. And I think that's a fantastic quality here. And as I said, I think our drive, our determination, our enthusiasm as well. You know, she speaks so highly about the club, and you can tell she's very passionate about it. And yeah, really looking forward to our tenure in charge of the club.
I don't think they could have gotten anybody better for that role.
No, I'd agree.
Because they're just a case of just go out and try and get things done for the club. It's the way she does it. She's such a nice person we as well. She's very personable, and you know, we've dealt with her numerous times over the last few years as well, and nothing but good things to say about her.
Yeah, she's got that bubbly character as well, and you know, that's, she mentioned in the audio, you know, it's a community club. and you want to give back to the community as well. And yeah, anything that the club can do within the community to help out is crucial. And you know, Sharon's got to be at the forefront of that going forward. And yeah, absolutely delighted for her.
Yeah, so best of luck with that to her for the future. So let's get on to settle this game. Again, we'll say weather permitting, because you never know. It looks like we'll be doing weather watch instead of pie watch for the next few weeks. I haven't actually done it, checked the weather, the long range weather, but I think it's going to be more wetter than anything else this week.
Yeah, it's not meant to be that cold, but it's meant to be windy and rainy, just yeah. What you'd expect in December, to be honest.
Yeah, exactly. So we make a trip down to Bonnie Rigg. Rose for the first time down there. We'll be up there, a place we haven't been yet. A side that's sitting fifth in League Two at the moment. You know, the last time we played them, we won 2-1 with a late Kieran Shanks penalty. But then since then, they've played 8 games. They've only won 2 in the league, lost 5 and drawn 1. So maybe we've sort of seen that early. Season form is maybe just starting to dip away a little bit.
Yeah, I think so. I think, like I've said for a few weeks now, we're starting to see how the league's sort of really going to shape up. You can sort of see the top, I think it's the top four, maybe it's, yeah, top four, that there's a bit of a gap, and you've got the next 3 teams, and then you've got the bottom sort of 2 and 3 teams as well. So I think we're starting to see the league sort of balance out a wee bit. I think the early season form for some teams has sort of dwindled a wee bit. But yeah, you've got to guard against complacency. There might be a wee bit of rustiness in our legs, having they played for 2 weeks. Again, we played a lot of football up until then, but you know, still be a wee bit of rust. The kind of guys trained on Saturday, so we should still be okay. But yeah, you've got to guard against complacency going down there.
They've got they've a record of 21 goals scored, 22 against. So you know, I think only Clyde and Stranraer have conceded more goals in League Two this season. But in terms of goals, only the sides above them, Dumbarton, Stranraer, Stenhousemuir and Peterhead have scored more. So, you know, they are capable of scoring, but they're also capable of conceding.
Yeah, normally you'd say you're looking into a head-to game and you think, oh, it's going to be a tight affair and, you know, one goal might swing it. But I think in Saturday there could be goals. Both teams like to attack. I think clean sheets have been few and far between for Bonnie Rigg. They will concede goals if you get at them. And I think if we're on the money and we've got our attacking players with our creativity and their flair with them, then I see no reason why we can't get down there and come away with the 3 points.
It does help as well that Bonnie Rigg have gotten 7 penalties in their 14 games this season in the league. I think that's probably the most amount of penalties that any side have gotten across the SPFL, maybe barring one, but I want to say who that one might be.
I don't know, so if I'm including the whole of the SPFL, I think there might be one team that would be ahead.
There might be one team that's slightly ahead, but 7 penalties. So, funnily enough, in the last game between the two sides, there was 2 penalties. Bonnie Rigg scoring an equaliser from the penalty spot, and as I said, Kieran Shanks getting the late winner from the penalty spot there as well. You know, if you're a betting man, a penalty might be the way to go.
Yeah, I would think so. What also shows me is they've got that creativity in and around the box to get in the box. It's not just crosses coming from wide area. They're an intricate side that they'll try and pass the ball about. They'll try and keep it on the deck. And yeah, I think they've certainly got danger men in and around their team.
As you said, Nate Gamer said, the advantage of that is it does mean that we're going to get likes of Jason Brown time to recover for his injury. It gives Andy McCarthy another week as well. Ryan Strachan was missing for the previous game as well. So now we've given these sort of key players an extra week to recover and get their fitness up as well. You see, likes of Joe McKee had picked up a knock. Hamish Ritchie had made his first start, but you know, came off after an hour against Ayr. So all these kind of things, you know, we're missing a game. We want to play games, but on the flip side, this is a game where we're going to have, you know, more players available.
Yeah, we put in a heck of a lot of work against Ayr as well. You know, obviously going to extra time certainly didn't help the cause. And yeah, the guys have put a lot of work in November. Maybe a welcome break for some of them, as you said, try and get a few players back from injuries and little knocks and niggles. And hopefully they're raring to go on Saturday. And I'm sure if we get a a strong start and all of the new. Like I said, I don't see any reason why we shouldn't be getting the 3 points.
And that's going to be the difficulty that the two managers are going to have to look at as well. You know, the effort that we spoke about last week in the air game, you know, getting us the lead, and we're playing essentially with, you know, the players that haven't been playing on a regular basis, like the David Wilson. You know, now you're playing, you've potentially got Jason back, potentially got Ryan back, you've got Andy McCarthy available. You know, are these kind of players will be available? Who starts? That's going to be the intriguing thing come the when the team sheets come out.
Yeah, I don't envy them. I really don't, because also there'll be a training session this week as well, all together, and then the separate ones. It's maybe something I'd like to call. I'll use Jason and Davey Wilson as an example. Two really good players. Based on how Davey played against Ayr, it'd be very difficult to drop him, but then you've got Jason and Ryan due to come back as well, potentially. You know, three doesn't go into two. So, yeah, I think Favre drops out can feel unlucky. Even players that you maybe think are starters, but they aren't, that maybe drop to the bench. But again, it shows the quality we've got on the side. You know, time gone past, you look at the squad and you could pick the starting 11. So, you know, if we watch the team week in, week out, we can't pick the starting 11. You've got to think the Bonnie Riggs got a struggle to try and predict our starting lineup as well. So that could work in our favour.
We're now in a position where we haven't been for a wee while. We're now sitting second. We're 3 points behind Stenic as they picked up the win against Bonnie Rigg on Saturday, 1-0. So obviously we've got the game in hand to still play. But we're now in a position where we are now the chasing side. So we want to be picking up as many points as we can.
It's always good to have points on the board. I'm a huge lover of the game in hand sort of feel, and think, oh, if you win it, you know your level. Stenny's got the points on the board, and that's what counts. And they've shown in recent weeks that they've sort of risen to the top. They're a really good football inside. They're good to watch, but they're difficult to play against. And yeah, we're going to have to. I think things change slightly when you go from the team that's doing the chasing to the team being chased. Your mentality is slightly different as well. This might suit us to sort of be chasing slightly. You don't want to be top all the time, but you know the time that you want to be top set at the end of the season, so hopefully we can be.
Right, delighted to say now to get his take on Saturday's game down at Bonnie Rigg Rose is Bonnie Rigg supporter Grant Tuff. Grant, welcome to the Blue Team Podcast. How are you?
Not too bad, mate. Thank you very much for having me.
Not at all. This is going to be a new experience for us doing it at Bonnie Rigg, much like what it was for you guys coming up early on in the season. So what can we expect when we come to Bonnie Rigg and Saturday then?
So it depends. I mean, obviously, ever since we came up to the leagues, we're trying to improve the ground. We started, obviously, last season trying to make sure the ground was fit for purpose in the Cinch SPFL, which kind of resulted in us not investing much in the playing squad. But we're now, it's our second season now in the League 2, so we're finding our balance a wee bit better, improved the squad a wee bit, and we've also improved the ground. So, like you say, I think it's Peterhead's first time down as well, so it'll be a total new experience for both sides, us having you guys down and you travelling down to NDP. So, no, I think it'll be a good game to look forward to. I mean, NDP at the minute, depending on the pitch situation with all the weather we've had, could be a level playing field, but I'm sure the guys will be working on it throughout the week to make sure it's all ready to go for Saturday.
And that's the thing, obviously, our game was off on Saturday because of the weather, and now suddenly everybody's sort of getting the weather app suiting their phone every day just to kind of check and see how it goes. But you guys managed to get your game on Saturday. Stenny was kind of hoping you guys might do us a wee bit of a favour. Unfortunately, that didn't happen. Great effort by the Stenny volunteers to get that game on.
Yeah, no, it was brilliant. I mean, we were sitting in anticipation, just waiting to find out how the game was going to go. I mean, I seen an update from them about 7:30 in the morning, and the pitch was covered under at least a foot of snow. So the work that they got done to the pitch through volunteers and guys at the club to actually get the game on was brilliant. I did see throughout the morning that apparently the pitch was fine underneath. It was just a case of getting the snow cleared. Mm-hmm. And they've done that, so fair play, we got a game. To be fair, the game was actually pretty even. There was not many chances for either side. We had a couple chances whilst at 0-0, which we probably should have taken. But yeah, the one goal, it's always a tight game at Sferi for Bonnerig. We've had two draws there last season, so we kind of thought it would be a one goal to be the difference between the two sides. And unfortunately, for me and for you, it was the case that Sferi were 1-0 worse. So.
We're about halfway through the second quarter. How are things going with you at the moment?
Yeah, I think we've actually done all right. We seem to have been in fifth place for ages because we lost a few games on the bounce. And no matter what happened, we always remained in fifth position in the league. So, but to be honest with you, I think from a Bonnerig perspective, you know, we finished eighth last season and just staying in the league was a big thing for us financially. The difference between the Lowland League and the Cinch itself is you get prize money. So just to be able to stay in the league and make a bit of money to, like I say, improve the ground and the playing squad was a key factor for us. But no, on the pitch, I mean, we had a decent start. We then went on a run where we lost three on the bounce without scoring a goal, which was disappointing. But at the same time, we've got to remember where we are. You know, like I say, I keep going back to it. We're in fifth position. On our day, I do think we can match anyone in the league, but that goes for a lot of teams in the league. It's a very evenly matched league. Anybody can beat anybody, home or away, as we've seen this season. So, but for us, I think we've just got to appreciate the fact we're in fifth position. We're not anywhere near the relegation zone at the moment, so we just want to keep it up, take it one game at a time and see what happens towards the end of the year.
Yeah, it seems to me that the league's obviously starting to sort of sell out. You've got the sort of top three, four, then you've got the sort of middle group, and then you've got the two or three doing it at the bottom. I guess another good season for you guys would be to finish in the league, or are you kind of hoping to stay in and around that sort of playoff places?
Yeah, no, I think we've got to be realistic here. I mean, we do have one of the tightest budgets in the league in general, so at the start of the season, if we can stay in the league, then that's the main thing. But as you said, we're now at the stage of the season where we're starting to see where teams might end up towards the latter stages of the season. So if we can remain where we are, I think people can't really hold a grudge or moan about where we are in the league. At the end of the season, if we're still in that league next year, then that's fine for us. You know, I think no one will argue that case.
Earlier on, the two sides met up at Balmoor here. It ended up being a 2-1 win for us, a tight game. What was your recollection of that game?
Yeah, I think going back to that game, obviously it was our first time up at Balmoor, and it was just a case of finding our feet and seeing, you know, what type of opposition Peterhead were. I think on the day we started probably the better team in the first half. I think we had the better opportunities really, but it was a big difference in the second half. Peterhead seemed to change their whole style at half time. And we couldn't handle that based on the changes that were made. We did get that penalty with like 10 minutes to go, and we thought we could see it out and hold on for a draw, but then the penalty was awarded to Peterhead, which rightly so was given. So yeah, 2-1. It's a hard one to take when you lose a goal at the end, but you know, I think anything can happen this Saturday when it's down in Bonnerig. You know, it can go either way, just totally depending on the pitch and stuff.
Tell me about this penalties you seem to be getting all the time. I think I've got you doing is 7 penalties this season in the league. There's obviously something in the water doing there, is there?
7 penalties in the league, and I think we've also got one in the Scottish Cup as well. But our penalty taker, Neely, he's 8 from 8 from penalties. So, it's quite a... You look at that and you think of the goals that we've scored, and we're thinking the majority are coming from our centre-half scoring penalties. But, yeah, it just seems to be a case where we're getting men forward in the box, and we are creating chances, and it just seems to be when we've got that chance in the box or a foul during the play, or looking back at like the Elgin game and stuff, I think there have been a couple contentious decisions, but soft might not be the word, but they're given at the end of the day, so we're not gonna argue the case. But like you say, there's been that many now trying to remember every single one we've had and what's resulted in that penalty being given. So, but yeah, we'll take everything we can get.
I mean, generally speaking, you probably get 7 in a whole season, really. But to get 7 and 14 is quite incredible, really, isn't it?
Yeah, we had 2 given in the same game against Elgin, and then 2 given in the same game against East Fife at home. midweek a couple of weeks ago. That one was more recent in the memory, and that one, as those two were penalties, I'll have to say that. But I missed the Elgin 5-1 match, so I can't remember them off the top of my head how those came about.
So let's go on to Saturday's game then. It's, as you said, you're just sitting fifth at the moment. We're coming into this game obviously not playing on Saturday. Is that going to be an advantage, do you think, for you guys?
No, I think when you play us, you know, in this league, there's no real advantage given in it to any team, really. Like I say, it all comes down to how our pitch is. I don't know how Peterhead will find it, given their first time there, and, you know, our pitch is prone to a bit of a slope, that you could say. So, yeah, I do think that, depending on our play style, we've been trying a few different things with our formation, and depending on what players we've got fit, could be a difference maker. I've got no knowledge on how Peterhead are doing for injuries or suspensions going into the game, but yeah, the chances are that it could either be a low scoring 1-0 to either side, or Peterhead could blow us away 2-3-0. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, you look at your goals that you've conceded. I think it's 22 that you've got. I think only Clyde and Sunrar have conceded more in the league, but on the other side, you've got 21 goals scored, and only the teams above you have scored more. So there's obviously an element of good going forward, but maybe nice a good the other way.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the real gutter for us, I think, was when we lost at Dumbarton, we lost 4-0, and then you've got the 2-0 to Peterhead. Not the 2-0 to Peterhead, the 2-0 to Forfar, which we lost. And I think it all stemmed from when we were 2-0 up at Spartans as well, but then they came back to draw 2-2 and we're disappointed to give away that 2-goal lead. And then, like I say, we went through a spell of 3 games, losing on a trot, not scoring a goal, which was a real dampener, but somehow, like I say, we were still in 5th position after that. But no, listen, we've got a few good boys who can create chances in that team. It's about taking the chances for us that is a difference maker. If we can take the chances which we create, there's no doubt we can score goals, but then when it comes to the back, we shouldn't be giving away a lot of soft goals. That's been our difficulty at the back. The goals that we're giving away are, you can easily, you know, take care of them when they're coming forward down the wing or second balls, or, you know, they can miss set piece. So there's definitely things to work on going forward and at the back. But yeah, every game's a new challenge.
Who's the main sort of threat we should be looking out for then?
It totally depends on the team. Recently, Smart, our number 20, has been probably our best player going forward. He was a difference maker, I'd say, against East Fife in that 4-2 win. And then he won the penalty at Albion Rovers as well, when he had a good game. But the only thing about him was on Saturday, was a couple of chances he could have done better with, I think. Same with Young Taylor going forward. Young Taylor came in from Dunfermline on loan. Had a great first game against Clyde, and he can get good shots away. It's just a case of taking them, pretty much. And then again, we've got Big McGackie, who's a physical player to try and defend at the back, and Liam Buchanan, who's got years of experience in the leagues, who's always got a goal in him. So we've got players who can put the ball in the net, and also we try and convert from a 3-5-2 to a 5-3-2, depending on what we've got going for us, if we're attacking with the ball, trying to defend it. So, yeah, if the team can remain within their shape and move with the play itself, we could be all right.
Is it about finding that consistency levels then? You talk about, you know, losing games that you maybe should have won, or throwing away leads, but then going and winning games that you maybe didn't think you were going to win.
Yeah, I think consistency is obviously key, but in that league it's so difficult to try and remain consistent. You could easily go on a game, you know, like what I was saying earlier on, we lost 3 on the bounce, not scoring a goal, but then when East Fife came to NDB, we ended up beating them 4-2. So we've made up for a few of those games where we've not scored. But yeah, if we can remain consistent going forward, then after we take our chances in a game, we seem to take more, should I say. Like, we don't tend to win the games by a 1-0 sort of thing. We will usually score more than just the 1 goal, I think, if we get the first goal in the net. So yeah, if we can be consistent going forward and taking our chances, then that would be a right level up for us, shall I say.
Yeah, and it's a busy time of the year as well, so you want to try and get as many points as you can at this stage of the season.
Exactly, and like I say, for us, as long as we can try and move further away from that club 42 position, then we're happy with that. There will be a lot of people in the club who are optimistic of going further, which we all should be. We all should be optimistic about trying to progress as a club on and off the field, but we need to take a step back and be realistic. That's always been Bonnaroo's real sort of values, should I say. Like, we don't want to go out there and spend money we've not got. We want to try and remain consistent where we are, don't get too big for our boots, and just try and improve slowly but surely and make progress where we can.
Well, Grant, thanks very much for coming on. Pleasure to chat with you. Wish you all the best for the rest of the campaign. And I don't know if it's too early, but season's greetings to you and your family as well for the Christmas. And hopefully we get a good game on Saturday.
Thanks very much, Colin. Thanks for having me on, and all the best to you as well, and I'll probably see you on Saturday.
And that is it for this week. We do hope you have enjoyed it. A huge thank you once again to Peterhead General Manager Sharon Brown for coming on to discuss all things Peterhead. My thanks goes to Grant Tuff for joining me to preview Saturday's game against Bonnyrigg Rose, and of course to Martin Smith for being here as always. Big thank you to everyone for listening and for your comments and questions. Do keep them coming in, we do appreciate them. Martin and I will be back again next week, so until then, stay safe and we'll see you all again very soon.